Started. It's 5:37. I call the meeting to order. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the October 23rd meeting.
Moved.
So moved. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And I will also entertain a motion on the November 13th, 2019 minutes for the committee.
So moved.
Moved by Collins, second?
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I gotta hear somebody say aye before I can move on. All right, the first resolution is Resolution 459, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an IMA with various municipalities for the operation of the Ulster County Gang Enforcement Narcotics Team.
Move it.
Moved by Heppner, second?
Second.
On the resolution, do you want to have discussion or?
We could. So first of all, I just had a further conversation with the sheriff. One thing to bring attention to is this: what's before us is a marked up copy for discussion. In the MOU, page 9, we put in bold that use of a juvenile is strictly prohibited. The sheriff's asked that that not be in the MOU because the use of juveniles is governed in the appendix. I'm not going to move that, which means that'll come out, right?
Okay.
Because it's not in.
Right. It hasn't been amended by the committee yet.
It hasn't been amended, so I'm not going to move that, so that'll be removed. But
okay.
Then, and that's what we're voting on. I think that we've come to, the sheriff has made some changes to the informant policy. What we included in the packet were my suggested changes.
Mm-hmm.
He's already made changes, which for me get me halfway there. As everyone knows, I have concerns about the use of juveniles as confidential informants
in narcotics investigations
in particular. And yep. I think also there's been, we had a little bit of a discussion about the distinction of a confidential informant as providing information versus going into the field, which the sheriff is adding the language to be specific to prohibit the use of juveniles in narcotic investigations. But I don't think that we're voting on, this is something that's happening at the sheriff's office. We're not voting on the informant policy today. That's something that's being done on the sheriff's office. But
yep.
But I again have more confidence knowing that that's going to be moved forward and that copy will be circulated for everybody to see, just to know what the sheriff's doing, because it's totally in the sheriff's purview. So I'm more comfortable now is the short of it.
Okay. So we're going to just, the document that we all have in our packets is the one that's been changed. So the change on page 9 will be removed.
Right.
And we're voting on it as it was originally introduced.
Correct.
I just want for the minutes and for the clerk to understand.
And the attached document, the informant policy, is going to be changed by the sheriff.
Right, but it's just backup material.
And has been changed, that's backup material internally.
Yep.
So we don't need to move. We don't need to vote on that. We don't have authority to vote on that.
Sheriff?
And just to add, and we have come in an agreement, but there were changes already made prior, and the reason being it's not going to be in the MOU itself because it has to go through the towns again. So the reference Appendix 2, which is the sheriff's policy on informants. This policy is more restrictive than that of my previous employer, the New York State Police, which is a large organization that deals with informants on a regular basis. And I believe we've come with a pretty good agreement, and I'll add that and bring it up to our attention within the next 48 hours.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. And Trace, I know we've you and I have disagreed on this over the years a little bit here and there, but I've got great faith that Sheriff Figueroa is going to be able to address your concerns while still making sure that the Sheriff's Office and Urgent have the tools that they need to keep
yes.
our community safe. So
I do too. Thank you, Sheriff.
All right. Any more discussion on the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 535, imploring the state of New York to immediately amend or delay implementation of bail and discovery reform laws that will endanger the people of New York and reverse decades of bipartisan progress and reducing crime. I'll entertain a motion for discussion.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Moved and seconded for discussion. I've had many members of law enforcement, members of our DA's office, members of DA's offices from around the state, law enforcement agencies from around the state, have deep concerns about the implications of the criminal justice reforms that were passed by the state legislature. And that's why, and I know that Brian and I have shared some of these concerns, which is why I put in this resolution. I think it would behoove the state legislature to at least delay the implementation of the bail reform in particular, because I don't think that there is a proper plan for how to deal with bail reform and the end of custodial arrests and the discovery reform all at the same time. I think that there are going to be police agencies, close your ears, Sheriff, who stop making arrests for more petty crimes because the paperwork is going to be time prohibitive. And in the end, it's not really going to make the community any safer. So I respect those who disagree about it, but I haven't heard from anybody a plan on how this is going to take effect in January. Jonathan?
Yeah, no, obviously I respectfully disagree with this resolution. I think it's an important step forward. I think where you actually have seen this implemented where the actual data lies. For example, you can find the New Jersey State Police put out a report after the implementation of their bail reform and criminal justice reform. There actually was a decrease in violent crimes. Had no impact on community safety. I think in New York State right now you have over 66% of current inmates in the New York State prison system are awaiting trial.
That would be the county systems, because the state system is only for people who are after trial.
And you've seen it implemented in both Democrats. I don't believe this is a bipartisan issue. I mean, Republican states have also implemented bail reform, like Alaska. Ohio's implemented it, and we've seen the success, in New Jersey. I also think it's just in general, in terms of discovery reform, I think we're way past time to reform the discovery process in New York State. I think our current discovery laws are 40 years old. States like Alabama, North Carolina, Texas have all gone further and more recently updated their discovery reforms to improve their justice systems. So again, from where I've seen data and, my just personal philosophy on justice reform, I respectfully disagree and I'll be a no.
I mean, just, Tracy,
yeah,
I was just going to say, just to follow up on some of that, again, I think that this is where, terms like criminal justice reform and bail reform, there are, I think, common sense things to amend with bail reform. I think that the concern that many of the law enforcement agencies that I've spoken with have is that it's just gone a little bit too far. The list of crimes that are no longer going to be allowed to have bail. I will say that I spoke to a town justice who will remain, anonymous. There was a person was arrested for aggravated driving while intoxicated. Blew a .21, and this is pre bail reform. Under bail reform, aggravated DWI is not going to be even going to qualify for arraignment anymore. You're going to get an appearance ticket and you're going to go on your merry way as long as you find somebody to bring you to take you home. But and this story goes in that direction. And so the person at the request of the ADA was ROR'd to the custody of a family member. The family member happened to flake out and not come. So the person got an Uber back to her car, got in the car. At this point, she was probably a 1-4, 1-5, and then got arrested reoffending in a separate town. You know, I think that that is a scenario where these reforms have gone too far, because if that happens in this case, the person will then again be released with an appearance ticket and be able to get an Uber to the car wherever it is at that point. You know, I just think that we're really, that's a case where you're legitimately endangering the public, where a judge in the second case right now, and this is somebody was not held on bail after blowing a 2-1 and having an aggravate, a felony DWI, and it was a person who had previously had another felony. And now the public is going to be endangered because that person could get an Uber to another person's car, or borrow a car from a friend, or something else, and then run over the, you know, the proverbial, you know, busload of nuns. You know, it's just, there are serious concerns that nobody has been able to explain to me how they're going to be addressed. And quite frankly, there are law enforcement agencies who have serious concerns that nobody has been able to address. And it sounds great, you know, it's a great soundbite to say, well, I'm in favor of criminal justice reform, I'm in favor of bail reform, but until the public can be assured that they're going to be safe under these new circumstances, because I don't know what the laws are in these other states. I don't know if there are similar laws that are now completely without bail, if there are similar laws that are now completely without a custodial arrest. You know, I mean, everybody, I think, is in favor of some level of bail reform, but I just think that this law goes too far.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you and agree with Jonathan. Yeah, Washington, D.C. has had virtually no cash bail for decades now. I don't know exactly the year it was implemented, but it's more than 20 years ago. And Kentucky has a long-standing experience with virtually eliminating cash bail as well, with really positive results. I'll circulate the Harvard Law Review. In the last 6 months, did a study that analyzed both the municipalities that brought it on recently and those that have been working with it, including not just bail reform, but pretrial detention, et cetera, et cetera. I think that the cost of not implementing the changes is also steep, and that's something, I mean, when you say it's nice to talk about criminal justice reform as a, you know, as an idea, I mean, these are people whose lives are changed in many cases because they cannot make bail, which if they just had the money to get out, they would be out. And we know in our jail population, we have at any given day a significant percentage of the population sitting. I personally have known some of these people sitting because they cannot make bail. So it's really, it's punitive based on their ability to pay, and the consequences to that can be steep. You can lose, if you don't show up for work, if you're not able to make your mortgage payment, if you're not able to pick up your kid, there's lasting consequences. I mean, one of the first cases that started this discussion was a young man, I want to say, that was sent to Rikers and spent a period of time in Rikers waiting for trial. Eventually, the case was dismissed, and he was released just after having served an extended period of time, and he ended up committing suicide in large part due to his experience inside those walls. So I'm approaching it from, you know, that perspective and from the case studies and the experience of the communities that have gone before. I think change is scary, and I'm not saying that to be lightly. I think it's right to be concerned about how it will play out, and I'm especially cautious that we here in Ulster County invest in making it work, invest in making sure that people make it back to their court cases. And I know there are processes that are now starting to be put into place, but on that front, I think we have to do what we can to make these changes effective, mm-hmm. not just to say, okay, there's changes and now here you go and we're just going to watch what happens. I think we have to be part of that change and making it work. So
yeah, I Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I totally understand what you and Jonathan are saying. I think a lot of what you both are saying is about the changes to cash bail. I think that there are other concerns as part of the overarching criminal justice reforms that have not been properly addressed. I understand what you're saying, and I understand that there's real people in these situations, and you have to think of the human factor. But I mean, you know, I always think of the 7 P's: proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance. And I don't think that there's been proper planning on these things. I think it was rushed through. I think that law enforcement agencies weren't engaged enough in the process. And I think that, you know, the law that gets passed more than any other law in legislatures all over the country is the law of unintended consequences. And I think that this is going to have some unintended consequences that could be dangerous. Jonathan?
Kind of reiterate and just, you know, close on it. You know, for me, again, it's, I look at it, you know, three pillars. One is that I do believe that this does implement needed reforms in terms of balancing the scales of justice, especially in terms of bail reform, and especially, like I said, New York's outdated current discovery process.
Mm-hmm.
The second pillar is that, I mean, significant taxpayer savings as a result of these reforms, significant. Then the third pillar, and the most important, you can look at where the states that have implemented, Republican and Democratic states like Ohio and Alaska, New Jersey, where you have significant millions in the tens of millions of dollars to over $100 million in savings. And three, and most importantly, again, it's easy to pick out a scenario, and they can, when you talk about certain scenarios, yeah, of course they can sound scary and concerning, but, you know, we're specifically hyper-focusing on particular scenarios, but I'm looking at the data. And again, New Jersey's bail reform laws are very similar to New York's, and I'm going off the crime data from police, from the New York State Police, New Jersey State Police. I highly recommend you read the crime report that they just came out with, that very specifically outlines the actual the zero impact on crime rates that they've had in New Jersey, where they've actually seen it. Not, I don't know if they're connected, you can't say they're connected, but they've actually had a decrease in violent crimes in New Jersey during the time their bail reform. So I think overall, if you look at those three, I understand this is a big change for New York, but also I think in a lot of these elements, I think New York has been extremely behind. Like I said, you know, both red and blue states across the country have been way more proactive in addressing what I think we can all agree has been a very broken system that hasn't proven to work. You know, the current system hasn't proven to be beneficial, hasn't proven to be fair to taxpayers, hasn't proven to make our communities any safer. But it has proven to have, you know, legitimate inconsistencies in our justice process. So again, respectfully, I'm a no.
Moving forward, we'll see. You know, we'll see if this really does make us safer or less safe. I mean, that's, you know, we can talk about data from other states, and we can talk about money savings in other states that don't necessarily have our same systems here as we do here in Ulster County and as we do in the state of New York. And, you know, just I've always been a big proponent of, just because it works in another state, whether it be a red or a blue state, because to me this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue, you know, just because it works somewhere else doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work here, and just because it's similar doesn't mean it's identical and going to prove to have the same results. But I respect your point of view on it. Julius?
I believe that looking at those other states that have already implemented, had we studied what was wrong and what has been right with theirs, I think we could have got ours much straighter. But I also stand believing that it's something that we need to happen. It's a step in the right direction as far as the rule is concerned, but it's something that I don't know how well it was thought out and worked out to make it work. So I'm in a quandary, because either way, there's things that we want to happen, but by the same token, one says, I sat down with a justice yesterday who's struggling because he doesn't know what to do. Because of the thing, the laws that are setting before him, he doesn't know how they're going to work in a community that he's been working over. All of these things are questions that I don't know if any one of us is going to answer. On the other side, were they separated as far as the discovery is concerned? That's important. We keep some people from going to jail in the first place, or keep them from sitting in court forever because the information is out there. On the other end, we're releasing folks who are dangerous to themselves and the public. So you're messing with something that I really think needs to be thought and worked, while at the same time it's something that our people have been crying for forever. So you got to pick which way. I think it's something that we need to rethink. We need to work at.
Sheriff?
And this is an important topic. Law enforcement did not have a seat at the table doing these negotiations.
Sure.
It was strictly done on a budgetary purpose rather than a bill where there's debate. And that's really the concern of law enforcement. Bail reform is needed. Without a doubt, I'm a supporter of bail reform. When you have two people that commit the same crime and one guy walks because he has money and the other one doesn't, it's not fair. And so I get that, especially the communities that where I come from the underprivileged that we know in our county. And no one's saying that bail reform is not needed. It is. Bail was put in place to make sure people show up to court. And just like anything else, human nature is, they're going to take advantage of that like they will this new law. And the concerns for my people and the people in law enforcement, we're the ones that have to knock on the doors and tell people why people are still walking out in the street after they did something to you, one of your loved ones. It is our people that have to go out and talk to these folks and tell them, I'm sorry, I can't do anything because that's the law. And we forgot a little bit about what our victims. And so law enforcement is this is not a police state. Whatever law is passed, we have to uphold. And I tell my people that. I come from an organization that you never ever hear talk in politics. They just don't. The state police, you won't ever hear them talking about that, especially the leadership, because our job is to uphold the law, whatever the law is. Politics and people that get elected into office, and there's consequences to that. And if you want change, then you have to go out and vote. It's a little bit different in New Jersey because the judges have a little bit more leeway than they do here in New York with this new law. And what's good about that in New Jersey is because the judges know their local people. And we're not saying in law enforcement that these small crimes really don't deserve bail, and some frankly don't deserve bail. They shouldn't be locked up for cases involving nonviolent type of
petty larceny.
Exactly. But domestic violence is going to be a big issue. It's going to be. Mm-hmm. When you go to someone's house and you arrest a person, you give them an appearance ticket, and an hour later they're going to go there, and there may even be a homicide now because of it. There's no cool-off period anymore. There were tools in place that nobody talks about. My previous employment, most of the cases I had involved large-scale narcotics, 50, 60, 100 kilos. These are the business people that come in from another country, whether it's the Dominican Republic, Mexico, or Colombia. And when you arrest those individuals that are just here to make money and to go back to their countries, unless you can prove that they're a trafficker, which in most cases you won't be able to, that leverage that you had to talk to them to say, hey, tell me the information of who gave you this information, and maybe perhaps you won't spend a night in jail, because that was a deterrent. And now we're given an appearance ticket. Do you think that individual is going to come back? No, he's not. He's not from the country to begin with. So he's going to leave the country, and all that poison is going to be out in the street. And it's just going to tie the hands of law enforcement to find out where the sources of this poison is. And that's just one of many of these felonies that you're going to give appearance tickets to. Again, we're not opposed to non-violent type of crimes to get the parents sick and sued instead of bail. But we are against crimes that affect public safety. And that's our concern. We're not saying don't do it. We're saying give it a little time. And I was up in Albany with Sheriff Apple and others in law enforcement to ask the State Assembly and the State Senate to look at the reforms, give us a seat at the table, and let's discuss it so we protect the victims that don't have any voice. And that's the concern of law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other discussion on the resolution? All in favor? Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
One last thing I forgot.
Yes.
Mental health issues. In the past, these individuals mm-hmm. have mental health issues. They end up at the county jail. Well, they're going to end up in the hospitals now because they're not going to be coming to the county jail. So I hope the hospitals are ready for the folks that are heading their way.
Well, I'm sure that won't have any effect on the $6 billion gap in Medicaid funding, which is coming our way, folks. Resolution 536, amending capital project 482, countywide radio system, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management. Moved by?
I'll move it.
Heppner, second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Tracy. On the resolution, Steve?
Yeah, this is the public safety radio system that we have the proposal from Motorola to improve and upgrade the current radio system that we have. We operate in a frequency bandwidth that mobile radios and portable radios are no longer available. We've got the bandwidth that the county owns that we're able to build out a system using our own frequencies. And that's what we've designed. So this is what the project is. And we just recently, Friday, was announced the fiscal year 19 formula grant from SICG, the Interoperable Communications Grant. The county is going to be awarded $563,271 towards that.
Excellent. If I could just say, as a former member of the Fire Advisory Board, emergency communications, public safety communications is, it's very important. We've had several towers that go down for long periods of time because we just can't get the parts for them. And you've got areas in the county that are just, where you could talk to somebody, from Shangum, you could talk to somebody in Saugerties, but you can't talk to the guy in the truck standing 100 feet away. Steve's been working on this for a very long time. Is this high band? Is the
yeah? We're gonna go to high band. Yes. Yeah. All right. We started a radio radio project in 2011, yep. And the Blue Wing study was putting us at 7-800 frequency, which was a $20 million project. Now we're down to about 8.
Did somebody come up with frequencies? Because that was the problem back then, right? Was that
right.
There just weren't enough frequencies?
So the highway department, we owned them. The highway department used them. They moved off of them, but in the time frame, we weren't able to get them coordinated on the mountaintops. So now we've been able to do that.
That's excellent. And this will be interoperable with the current systems that these fire departments have already been having. So
it
we're
is.
Not going to have a huge impact on their purchases.
Right. The proposal includes the subscriber units, so each department will get the radios that they need.
Okay.
And operating under P25 compliancy, which is mm-hmm. Requirement of the grant. But yes, it'll be interoperable across police, fire, and EMS.
Which is going to make your guys'
it's
jobs
a lot
easier. Holy cow!
It's a whole other world we're able to talk.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
You're knowing that
Thank
one.
You for all your work on that.
Yeah, that one already.
Did it?
Yeah, this is the radio system.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. My fault. 575. Nope, sorry. 562. approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Legal Services of the Hudson Valley Department of Probation.
Move it.
Moved by Heppner, second?
Second.
Any discussions, any questions for Nancy, who's, you know, been kind enough to join us tonight? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, everybody.
Resolution 575, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Motorola Solutions. See?
Yep.
Moved by Heppner, second?
Second.
Yeah, so this is the contract that,
yep,
that we just spoke about.
Contract for the capital plan. Excellent. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 576, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Goosetown Network Services, LLC.
Move it.
Second.
Moved
and seconded. On the resolution? Opposed?
Aye.
That's fine. If anybody has any questions or discussion, otherwise we're going to move forward.
This is, well, go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is Overlook. Overlook Mountain was sold to Goosetown. We have radio equipment on Overlook Mountain, which is up in Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the lease agreement for that.
For excellent.
Great Mountain.
Great Mountain? Great
Mountain.
Is it? Resolution 577, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Motorola Solutions Incorporated Emergency Management.
Move it.
Moved.
Second.
Second. Steve, you want to just give
This is the maintenance and equipment for the current system that we have.
Okay. On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And then finally, 578. We're giving Steve a workout tonight.
Yeah.
Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000, Motorola Solutions Incorporated.
Move it.
Moved?
Second.
Second.
Yeah, and this is our phone system maintenance for the year.
Any other questions for Steve?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? This is exciting time, Steve. You're getting you're getting the high band system.
You know how long we've been waiting for this?
Yes, I do. I know exactly how long you've been waiting for this.
Well,
ever since the state blew $1 billion on SWIN and then said, never mind.
Circled the drain. Down at as long as everything goes smoothly on the 18th, this is a very important.
What's the time frame on getting everything switched over?
Probably the end of 21. I'm gonna say because there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of
the build out of that.
Yeah.
Whatever that's gonna end up looking like as well. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the end of 21.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
I appreciate all the support.
Absolutely.
We have no new business, no old business. Any new business? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.